So the question is this: how do most agents find the secrets to succeed in today's competitive real estate market, especially when the top agents are keeping those secrets to themselves? That's the question, and this podcast will give you the answer. Hi, I'm Aaron Amuchastegui, and welcome to Real Estate Rockstars. Real Estate Rockstars, this is Aaron Amuchastegui. Hey, happy 2023. I almost said 2022. Isn't it crazy how fast everything flies by? 2022 was a whirlwind year. I mean, I get so excited at the beginning of every year because I love to like review the year. I love to reflect on it. I like to look at my goals. I like to look at next year's goals. And I know there's so many people out there that their end of year goals didn't quite meet up with their beginning of year goals for maybe the first time in a while for a lot of real estate agents. Now, some of you crushed it and some of you continued to exceed through your goals. Some of you did really well and you had such a strong first 4 months of the year that even when it slowed down near the end, you were still able to hit your goals. You know, one thing I would take as a lesson from that is you kind of, get it while the getting's good. So there are times in real estate where the market is hot and it's on fire and we're like, oh my gosh, I'm so busy. What should I do? Should I work less? Should I do things? I promise you, real estate is cyclical where sometimes it's busy and sometimes it's not. So sometimes I guess my philosophy is when it is busy and when it's working, you got to go for it because it's only a matter of time before it slows down and it changes. Personally, I've had several business changes. I've had several business changes this year in our acquisition and flipping company in Texas because sales have gone to an absolute halt. We have some apartment developments that we were looking at building that now we're probably thinking that we're not going to go forward on and we're going to walk away. But we've seen other sides of our business. You know, rents are down a little bit. Vacancies are up a little bit. But in general, you know, rental investments have stayed strong. And as I've been interviewing so many agents lately, I mean, I'm so glad to be back and so glad to be interviewing. But everybody kind of has these different stories. And so that's what I think is so great about this podcast is even though real estate's cyclical, not every market's the same. There are some markets that will last, you know, like Washington, D.C., it's kind of an outlier. It does its own thing. You know, it can go slower or go faster, but it's not necessarily going to mimic Austin, Texas, where Austin had a huge rise. And now we've kind of got this pretty big correction going on that's slowing things down. You know, and there's other places like Market Leaders, where it used to be that things would happen first in California, then they would happen in Oregon, then they would happen in Arizona as far as pricing adjustments and things like that. So as you're trying to prepare yourself this year, I think listening to the podcast and getting to hear how it's going for different agents in different places and how they're attacking this is super, super important for you. You know, this is one of those special episodes where we're going to go through and we're going to do a few minutes of everybody that got interviewed in December. So you can see if there's any of them that you want to go back and listen to next. And before I go into it, you know, I want to remind everybody, we are 2 months away from our live mastermind in Austin, Texas. And this isn't like any real estate conference you've ever been to. We talk about it a lot on here, but because we're so passionate about it, last year we got 60 people together and it was such a magical time. You know, everybody was like so entranced, learned so much, you know, made these lifelong friends. And really, you know, I promise that if you decide to join us, you're going to have the same effect. You know, you might already have people in your local area that help you in your journey, that give you advice in your journey. You know, I think most of you guys know I had, you know, 2009, 2012, I made a lot of money. My business was growing like crazy, but I didn't have any mentors. I didn't have any friends. I didn't have any people that I could talk to about that and get advice. And when the market started to turn on me in 2013 with some new competitors coming in, I could have gotten ahead of it if I had the right people to talk to, and I didn't have that. I felt like I was a real estate investor on my own. I felt like I was doing the whole entrepreneur journey on my own, and it was hard. And you know, if you're in one of those places where you maybe don't have a lot of people that you can get advice from, or you're already better than your network, or you don't have a network because you're too spread out in that area, or you're having a hard time going and asking people for help, the mastermind will also be great for you because this is your opportunity to finally get that network where you're no longer on this entrepreneur journey by yourself. When I joined my first mastermind in 2015, 2016, it was magical because the first time ever I knew that I could, you know, get help with my issues, get help with my challenges, and get help with my succeeding and get to celebrate those successes with other people. If you want to hear more about the mastermind, it's 3 days in March. you go to realestaterockstarsnetwork.com/mastermind. I hope you show up and join me. You know, we had so much fun last year. A lot of people ended up coming to my house afterward. We did cryo and a bunch of other fun things. Some of the guys got together and we just did an Ironman together back. Guys and gals got together and did an Ironman back in October. So I promise you won't be disappointed. I promise it's going to help you prepare for 2023. You'll make some lifelong friends. And I love getting to meet our listeners. So this episode, this is one of those special episodes where I go through and you listen to a few minutes of every one of the podcasts that we did in December to see if there's any one of them that you want to go back and listen to again. Here's a few minutes of the first one. This is episode 1102, Strategies for Making Sales as a New Realtor with Ernesto Hernandez. That's kind of funny. I got to meet Ernesto at our mastermind last year. He was absolutely fantastic, and I hope you'll like a few minutes of this interview.
I have no shame in calling people. I have no shame in knocking on somebody's door. I think one of the biggest mindset shifts that I've had is I'm not bothering someone. Like when people buy and sell homes, there is another problem in their life. Like that's not the first thing we're talking about. We're not talking about, well, you know, how many beds and baths do you have? What condition is your house? And okay, cool. Here's my marketing strategy. Like, I understand you want to buy and sell a home. Let's put that to the side. A little saying that I heard recently is people still buy and sell because of the three D's. It's diapers, divorce, and it's death. So I always say life happens and there's always something else going on. So if anyone's wondering, well, am I going to annoy people and am I going to upset people? I would say the feedback that I received from both the calling and especially the knocking, like the door knocking, so many people say, Ernesto, I don't know what you're selling, but I commend you. Like your work ethic, the fact that you're still out here, the fact that you sincerely are trying to just market the heck out of your seller's property says a lot about who you are. I've only been doing it for a little under a month. And I have two listing appointments that are scheduled. One lady said, I'm going to be honest with you, Ernesto, I get mailers from this top producing agent and I get them every month, but I've never met this person. So I thought I wanted to work with her, but my husband and I are happy to interview you and give you a shot. So those are the screenshots. For me, it's anybody can say that they spoke to 100 people. Where's the receipt? Yep. Where's the receipt? So if you're calling, I love Follow Up Boss. I know you guys respond, you know, you guys have the partnership with Follow Up Boss. I use Follow Up Boss. I absolutely love it. So if you're using the Follow Up Boss dialer, like it's easy for me to go into anybody's account, any new agent, pull it up. What have you actually done? How many people have you called? How many people have you texted? So for me, it's about the receipts to prove that you're actually putting in the work. That's the whole point of the screenshots.
I love that. I love that because as people ask me for advice or tell me that they're stuck, I want to be able to tell them like, hey, go do this. Go listen to this interview with Ernesto. Go send me your screenshot that shows that you're going out and you're walking neighborhoods and you're putting in the time.
One thing that I think I do really good at is coming up with creative lending solutions and educating people on how they can mitigate interest rates. So two of my favorite tactics, one are the buy downs. So I'm sure you've heard of those. There's different variations of them. There's the 2-1 buy down. I hear of the 3-2-1 buy down, but it's basically a temporary interest rate buy down that the seller pays for. And if you refinance over the next year or two, any of the unused funds actually go back to the buyer, which is awesome. And we're seeing way more sellers that are open to giving a credit. The other thing, secondly, with the credit, it's mathematically better for a seller to give you a credit than to just drop the price of the property. So there's another agent, you know, quick story. You know, we're on the phone, buddy of mine, he's a little frustrated. He's like, I got this escrow and we're having a hard time with negotiations. It was listed at 750. They got a low ball offer at 700. The seller didn't want to give a $50,000 discount. So I tell my buddy, hey, call their lender, because obviously you got that in their offer. Call their lender, find out what would their payment be if you gave them that reduction from 750 to 700. That's a $50,000 discount from the seller. What is their payment? Okay, now find out how much of a credit do you need to issue them to buy down the interest rate to get them the same payment? And it was only a $21,000 credit. So it's a win for the seller because they're giving up way less in terms of their proceeds. It's a win for the buyer because they can still buy that house at the payment that they need to be at. So I find myself educating people, consumers on that a lot.
I love that negotiation tactic. We recently had somebody in escrow at like 550 and they get the inspection back. They're like, no, the most we can pay is 500 now. And there's a $50,000 discount on something that you think is pretty minor repairs. It's really just buyers trying to get better deals out there right now. I would love to be able to try to counter back and go, all right, what's your payment at that? What would it cost us to buy that rate down? Because if I said, hey, I'll give you a $20,000 credit instead of $50,000 off, I think they're getting a bad deal, so they're out. But if I was able to show them your payment will be exactly the same at this as it would be there, and now we both win, like I get my sales price, you get into your house. And so I love that strategy. All right, and if you like that one, that was interview 1102 with Ernesto Hernandez. Go listen to the rest of it. Next up, episode 1103, adapting to the ever-changing real estate industry with Catherine Paulsinelli, who has had special guest host Stephanie Heiser. Here's a few minutes of that one.
What would be step number one? If someone comes to you and says like, hey, I got the real estate part down, what do I do to like survive and get organized? What would you tell them for their first tip?
Yeah. So I would have to say that, especially if someone like you that really kind of like boomed in their business and they know that they've got so many transactions that are keeping them super busy, my first piece of advice is going to be, what do you love doing in your business? And what do you wish you really didn't have to do in the business, right? And from there, see if we can't find some ways to delegate some of those pieces off of you, right? So like one of the first things that a lot of people should do in their business once they start getting busy and understand how a contract goes from start to finish is hire a TC, right? Then you're not dealing with the paperwork. You're not dealing with the in-between emails that need to go back and forth and making sure things are signed. You can take that client, deal with them the way you need to, handle them however, whatever additional comes up, correct? And then also be able to move on to the next one. So that's a huge piece, right? So TC, take that paperwork off the back end. Go ahead and get rid of that. Focus on what you're great on. The next thing would be for someone of your size that has that much, what's the next step in your business of things you would like to be able to let go of, right? If it's social media and follow-up or touching base with your database and you don't have time to do those text messages and phone calls, who can we hire to bring in to help alleviate that from you and train them to work the way that you do so that your clients are still getting the full experience of you?
Awesome. So what do you think about the state of the market and the future of the market?
I definitely agree with you. I don't think that we're going to stay in like this weird transition, right? We're in a transition, and that's how I see it. What I do think is going to happen is it's going to allow things to kind of even back out. And not only with your market, you're going to see that sellers are going to have to learn how to negotiate again and be okay with that. Your buyers are going to now be able to breathe because they have that ability to be able to do that. And then you're also going to see it within the agents as well, because like you said, a lot of people I feel like got into the business around 2020 when they saw things were stupid easy and they were like, oh, I can have a business, right? And they didn't do anything. And so you're going to find these agents now and people are going to have to start defining, do I want to actually learn what it means to run a business? And am I willing to put the time, money, and effort to do that? Or was it a good run and I didn't have to do anything? And now that I do, I should probably just go back to my corporate job. Like, I think that we're going to see a huge.
Yeah, I think that's a really beautiful and accurate point.
All right. If you want to go hear the rest of that interview, go listen to the rest of episode 1103 with Stephanie Heiser interviewing Catherine Paulsinelli. Next up, here's a few minutes of episode 1104. This was $200 million in sales at 23, overcoming extreme adversity with Brian Lane. This was a guest interview by Courtney Atkinson. Here's a few minutes of that one.
The last 3 years, I think we've transacted on just around $150 million in residential real estate. And mind you, he's done another probably $1 billion in commercial real estate. I think he cares about me and gave me a shot type thing.
Yeah, well, you got a compelling story and you're a heck of a guy and a great storyteller, by the way, but more powerfully, navigating what you've been through and getting to university, you know, getting your siblings out of the situation that they were in, never mind just yourself. And then you skipped right past the part where you just finished up a sale on Ellen DeGeneres' place. Like, come on.
Yeah, that was crazy. You know what's even crazier about that? This is like a whole full circle moment, right? So we worked with that client for about a year and a half. Wonderful family. And they're so kind to me, and that I, you know, we we obviously represented them to buy Ellen DeGeneres' house for $47 million about 2 years ago. Ellen and Portia do incredible work to the properties they sell. The caliber of this house was unreal. And, you know, Ellen and Portia and Kurt Rappaport, I got to say, that's their broker. They're just great people all around. And I really thank them for helping get that transaction done. And that house is extraordinary. The funniest part about that whole situation, to me at least, you know, as a kid that comes from like growing up in a shack with like cockroaches on my face, now selling one of the sickest houses to Transact that year. And during that whole time, like I told you before, I didn't even touch on this in the story. My mom's going to prison for life during the whole transaction. So it's like I'm being pulled in all these directions. How do you stay focused and motivated, right? It's because I freaking love what I do so much. Like, I'm so grateful to get to go from living in living in the ghetto on the floor in a complete shithole to selling one of the sickest houses in the world. But at the same time, then your mom's going to jail and you're like, what, for the rest of her life for beating the shit out of you? How do you really feel about it?
Yeah, it's a lot, man.
Confusing, huh?
Yeah, well, I can't imagine how that must have felt. I mean, on the one hand, you're riding some of the biggest highs that a person can ride in our business. And on the other hand, you're riding some of the lows that a person can ride in their entire life, right?
Yeah.
I have a question that I think our viewers and listeners would love to hear about, because, you know, you're working with some very sophisticated, wealthy people on, you know, these properties, $10+ million with fair degrees of consistency. How are you typically finding these people? And I have a follow-up question for that, just for you to think through. So the first one is how do you find those people? And then the second thing is, what are maybe one or two things that you think are unique about servicing those relationships compared to maybe somebody that's buying in the kind of $1 million to $5 million range?
Good question. So first and foremost, how are you finding those people? You know, there's a saying that my broker always says to me, deals beget deals. You do a deal, you get more deals. If you market that deal correctly, you definitely get more deals. So, you know, a lot of it, like I told you, like I was mentioning, it comes from the referral aspect from these people. You go so far above and beyond to take care of them that they want their friends to work with you because they know that you'll take such good care of them. And when you refer out a friend, you're essentially vouching for the third party that you're referring them to. And at this level, they have to be so timid about where they refer people to. So that is why I think it's very important to go so far above and beyond for your clients. You know, the top agents in this city, they probably wouldn't work with some of the buyers that I work with. And the reason that they wouldn't is because they're just trying to close a deal, sell a house. They're trying to make a deal. They're not trying to necessarily, they're not necessarily willing to go through the 12, 16 month long burn to find the asset that person loves the most at the best price.
Right.
They're just trying to close a transaction.
But I think it's that attitude, it's that energy, it's that confidence, it's that enthusiasm, it's that belief, like all that stuff. People are feeling that.
1,000%.
I really had an enjoyable time listening to that one because his story was so interesting. Go back to listen to the rest of episode 1104.
Hey, real estate rock stars. This is Aaron Buchastegui, and I'm interrupting myself to bring you this commercial break from one of our sponsors. There's somebody I've been looking at for a long time, and when they reached out to me, I said, yes, we have to be able to do this deal. So that sponsor is Follow Up Boss. There's a lot of superstars out there that use Follow Up Boss.
What's your favorite CRM?
We're using Follow Up Boss.
So we use Follow Up Boss.
I love Follow Up Boss. I love it. We have action plans now for bringing on new agents. We have action plans for our recruiting.
We call them action plans and Follow Up Boss, which will trigger tasks for the agents to do as far as calling. Follow Up Boss I like more for the integrations with everything, MailChimp, Call Action, all those different products.
I will say we used Sync, and we switched from Sync to Follow Up Boss.
Honestly, the greatest CRM I've ever used. I've used Rivety, Sync. I've looked at Boomtown, like Real Geeks, just a bunch of different ones. But me personally, I fell in love with Fub about like 7 months ago when I first started using it.
I've used Boomtown. I've used Line Desk. I've used Conversion. And I think Follow Up Boss gives you the most integrations that are simple, and it gives you the best ability to go and integrate large things into one single solitary platform, yet at the same time, it's still affordable.
I do like Follow-Up Boss better just because you can text from the app and things like that. It's just a little more convenient for me.
It tracks everything that I need. I can customize it if I want. If I want to go smart list-based, that's fine. If I want to go task-based, it's fine.
I think it's one of the best systems, and it's very user-friendly.
It just really helps me never drop a ball because it's so user-friendly.
I don't have a one horse in the race with Follow-Up Boss. Purely objective, Follow-Up Boss has been the best one that we've found.
Now, I've used Follow-Up Boss. We've actually used it in our non-real estate businesses as well, because it's so good at being able to set timers, set automatic texting and emailing. So here's what we got. For Real Estate Rockstars listeners, get a 30-day free trial. That's normally 14 days. So in order to get this, you go followupboss.com, just like it sounds, /rockstars. Go there, get your 30-day free trial and check it out. Especially if you aren't using any systems or any CRMs yet, this will be a great one for you to start with. Thanks again. Now back to our show.
Next up, here's State of the Market 90. You know, me and Andrew Perry, I interviewed him on the podcast the first time last year, talked about rising interest rates, buyer-seller disconnect, and really the challenges that they're seeing in their market. His market is a lot like Austin, Texas, where things have slowed down a lot. Nobody is offering asking price, no matter what price you listed, even if you price it right. People are asking for these big discounts. We talked about the challenges of that and how to overcome that. And he's also going to be one of our speakers that comes out to the Mastermind in May. Here's a few minutes of that interview. Right. All the buyers are just in this mindset of no matter what, they're going to offer less. And it's one of the first times I'm questioning my listing strategy, because I feel like if I had listed it at 500, I actually would have got 450, which is totally different than advice of years past. Years past was like, no, like list it for the price, and then the market's going to determine that. But I feel like right now they're actually looking at list price and they're saying, well, no matter what the seller wants, we can offer less. And you seen anything like that, hearing that from any of your agents?
Yeah, absolutely. So as soon as you kind of started chatting about that, I immediately started thinking, hey, you know what? Whoa, if we did that, we would be selling or getting offers at, you know, 50, 100K lower. So what I think the biggest problem was between now and, you know, back in the day when those types of strategies, you would have a traditional three-step, you know, choice. You'd say, okay, let's list it below market value, at market value, or above market value. Mm-hmm. Where the reason why that's not working right now is because it was such a drastic change in the marketplace where there wasn't any time for, let's call it a cooling off period. Let's call it a time for the rates or the market to become, you know, a little bit more adjustable in the buyers and sellers' minds, where we've got this kind of, you know, drastic 180 flip within such a short period of time that buyers, and because rates are still going up and up and up, is that the buyers still haven't wrapped their head around where is this market going. So that's why you're seeing these offers come in 100 to 200. Our average offer is about coming in $200,000 under asking right now. So it's a massive difference and massive stretch trying to get anywhere close to what the sellers were even hoping. So what we're doing now, and you know, the reason why we're doing this is to set expectations, is we're adding a Schedule A to all of our listings and saying, number one, the seller agrees to list within 5, maybe 10%, depending on the house, of course. If we feel the house is attractive, it's solid, it's going to bring us a lot of exposure and additional leads, then yeah, we can list within 10% of what we're suggesting. However, your average Schedule A is going to say that the seller must list within 5% of what we're suggesting, or we're not taking the listing, because right now we've got 25 listings and about $100,000 in marketing costs. So that's something that we're trying to avoid. And we've got 20 pissed off sellers. I mean, we have really good relationships with our sellers, so they're not pissed off, but I'm sure they would have loved to sold 2 months ago. And then what we're also doing, saying if you canceled the agreement and decide to list it with somebody else or sell it at or below this price, then we are entitled to commission. So again, it's not something that we're trying to scare them, but we are setting expectations to let them know that, look, we've done our research. The house should sell at this price or less. And if you're not willing to even consider our reports, then we're not really willing to consider working with you. And it's a way to protect ourselves, but it's also a way to reinforce that we know what we're doing. And if you want to get this sold, this is our best shot to do it.
And what advice would you give to, like, kind of that newer agent that's like maybe on a team of two or three, of like, if you're only going to have this much money to spend or this much money to work on, focus here. Yep. Because there's just the pool got smaller.
The most important thing that we need to know is that the last 24 months was a very market driven market. If that makes sense. So what I mean by that is that it really didn't take a lot of skill for a transaction to come to completion. The buyers, the market did all the work, where now it's a very skill-based market where we need to rely on our ability to convert buyers and sellers in order to make any money at all. So now that I've said that, I think about this. Ever since COVID, and again, I'm not the type of guy that say online leads are shit, and then somebody else says, the leads aren't shit, you're shit. I know that. I understand. But from a realistic standpoint, we don't have time to properly service online leads. What we need to take that money and reinvest in is more opportunities to speak to people face to face, because we have a higher conversion rate when talking to people face to face. So number one, start planning out your 2023 on in-person events. Okay, webinars, sure. Make that secondary, but make your primary focus in-person events.
All right, and if you like that one, remember, go to listen.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.